2 Corinthians chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 14 this evening. We'll read through the end of the chapter, verse number 18, responsively. I'll read verse 14, you'll join me on verse 15. We'll alternate all the way through verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What commune hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a good day. Lord, we've enjoyed being in church. Lord, we've enjoyed the time of fellowship. We've enjoyed the family time this afternoon at home. Lord, here we are again this evening, Lord, each and every one of us desiring to hear something from God's word, or else we wouldn't be here. Lord, we'd understand that life's busy. Lord, there's a lot going on. Use us this evening. Use this time as our pastor. Fill him with your power now as he preaches the word of God. Please minister us this evening. May this time not be wasted. Lord, we'll yield ourselves to you and ask that you do something that only you can. We'd ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. I want to help you. I'm going to jump right into the sermon. God made us to fellowship with him and to bring honor to him. We were not created for ourselves. We were created for God. When man sinned, we created a separation between God and man. Sin separates man from God. God did not create hell for man. God created hell for the devil and his angels. When I go out soul winning, I'll often hear somebody say, "Well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell?" He doesn't. God made hell for the devil and his angels. When man sinned, he committed the same sin that Satan committed. Therefore, the same punishment by justice is required on man. Matter of fact, God said he had to enlarge hell because of man's sin. Now, when we sinned, our spirit died, and now we have sin constantly nagging us, even if we're saved. When you get saved, it doesn't mean that you lose your sin nature. What happens is this: when you get saved, you add a spiritual, eternal nature to what you already have. But you do not lose your sin nature. That sticks with you to the moment you die. Hate to tell you that, but it's going to be there. You're never going to conquer sin. While I was in Bible college, they had a group of idiot guys that thought that they could go weeks and weeks and weeks without sinning. They called it sinless perfection. Well, they only lasted a few weeks, and Brother Hiles found out about it and kicked them all out of the college. You say, why? Because that kind of stuff will poison a college. You can't go weeks and weeks and weeks without sin. Matter of fact, if you think you can, you've already committed sin. It's called pride. If any man thinks he has sinned not, he is a liar. Guess what? Lying is a sin. They were lying sinners. Amen? Now, God loves us and wants us to spend time with us, and God wants to be close to us. But remember, sin separates us from God. That means this: God made salvation available so God could fellowship back with man. I'm gonna blow some of your favorite gospel songs over the last 100 years. The average gospel song gets it wrong to where we think that Jesus came for man. Jesus came for God the Father. He came so God could get what God wanted, which was fellowship with man. Now, he loved us, But Jesus wanted the Father to have what the Father originally wanted. And he did it for the Father more than he did it for you and me. Now, we get the benefit of it. Don't get me wrong. And it's not that God doesn't love you and that Jesus doesn't love you, but he did it to satisfy the Father. Well, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. No, pleasing the Father was. Pleasing the Father is what it was all about, not pleasing man. Now, God did everything he possibly could to close this separation gap caused by man's sin. God created us. Therefore, now listen to this statement, God knows us better than we can ever know ourselves. God knows us better than we can know ourselves. God knows that sin will cause a separation in our fellowship with him. Let me ask you a question. When you're in the middle of doing something sinful or you've lost your temper, are you close to God? Nope. In other words, sin causes a separation between you and God. And God knows that those things will keep us from being closer to him. God tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says that we are to be separate. Wherefore, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now watch this. He knows that we will be drawn away from him if we don't separate from the world. If we don't separate from those things which draw us closer to sin, as we get closer to sin, we get farther from God. And God says, I want you to come out from that, be separate, so that I can be close to you. Now, everybody ready? I'm going to make a few harsh statements. Get ready for it. Separation is not a matter of what you think. Separation is a matter of what God knows. Separation isn't what I feel. Separation is what God says. God makes it very clear and gives us very clear lines of what he says from that which we should separate. It's not an opinion. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to agree with God. I'm not going to preach a whole bunch of things here tonight and say, you got to live exactly the way I do in this area. No, I'm asking you to open up your Bible and see what God has to say. I'm not interested in you doing what I do. I simply want you to obey God in reference to our separation. Now, you say, why? Because I want him to have all the glory, all the credit, all the fellowship he can get. As I told God today, often I said, God, I hope that today's sermons will draw people closer to you and you'll get some of the love you deserve. That's my goal. Separation is not a badge you wear saying, look at me. Separation usually means... you become a little bit more humble and say, woe is me. Now, why does God ask us to be separate? What does it mean? From what should we separate? How do we do this separation? And tonight, I have 30 minutes to tell you all those things. Number one, as Christians, God wants us to separate from the lost world. May I say something? I don't fit in real well in the outside world. My family and I and Brother Mike, we went to the monster truck thing on Friday night. I love loud engines and I like some of that stuff, but my wife will tell you, I'm not real comfortable in a worldly setting. There wasn't nothing bad going on and everything else, but I'm just not real comfortable. There wasn't a whole lot I could say glory to God about. I couldn't say amen. Now, wait a minute. I'm not real, you know, the song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just Passing Through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Hey, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I get it. Now, was there anything sinful that we did? No. Was there anything bad about what happened there? No. Saw a lot of trucks and bouncing around and watched a couple of them break some things, and it was great. But I just didn't feel real comfortable with the whole crowd around me. Whole time I'm scanning the crowd thinking, man, it's all I got to do is stand right down there and grab that dude's microphone. I can start preaching and have a revival service here. Now, that's what I'm thinking the whole time. Nobody else was thinking that, but I was. Now, wait a minute. God tells us that we're supposed to be separated from the world. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 again, verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Notice Belial is capitalized. That word Belial or Belial means Satan, evil. Notice it's capitalized. Now watch this. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them." Who's them? The unbelievers. The people that worship idols. By the way, education can be an idol. Sports can be an idol. Money can be an idol. Not just some statue. Everybody doing okay? You can be your own idol. Okay? Pretty ugly one, but you can be one. All right. So God says we are to separate from the world. Let me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." I want you to notice something about this. God's going to one day separate us from the world. That's called the rapture. Now, you also have to understand something. God called us to be holy, and God called us to be sanctified. The word sanctify is not what most people think it is. People think sanctified means holy. You know, the Pope's got to bless it and spit on it and throw holy water and do all, you know, dominoes, who's got the dom, you know, all that kind of stuff. Sorry. I could say a few more things than I'm not. Yeah. But the Catholics are glad Jesus was crucified and not stoned to death, so they don't have to go, all right? Now, wait a minute. This pulpit is sanctified. This pulpit is a piece of wood that came from an oak tree. Probably several oak trees because there's different wood on it because I cracked the first top. I know for sure. Now, wait a minute. It's sanctified. It is set apart for a specific use. This pulpit is not intended to teach CRT and all the other mess. This pulpit is not to promote the alphabet soup crowd, the LGBTQ, whatever other letters they want to throw in on that thing. It's not set apart to teach what the world wants you to learn. By the way, it's not set apart for bad doctrine. The moment somebody preaches bad doctrine, I'm going to tackle them. Right in the middle of the sermon. Say why? Because I don't care if it's a personal foul, clipping, whatever you want to call it, they're going down. Now, I should do my homework to know that they're not going to in advance. But just in case, I reserve the right to say, that's it, cross the line, sit down, let me finish the sermon. Say why? Because this is sanctified for the preaching of the word of God and the promotion of the work of God. That's what this is for. This thing shouldn't be turned into a dance hall. This isn't going to have bad music sung behind it. Now, if I'm singing, it's going to be bad music, but that's all right, all right? The music itself will be good, just how it was done may not be so good. Let me bring it down to where you live a little bit. Those of you that have been married, when your future husband asked you to marry him and he put a ring on your finger, it's called engagement. That is a sanctification. It sets you apart from all others so that you don't keep dating everybody else. Y'all know what I'm talking about? At least that's the way it's supposed to work. That sets you apart, saying you're exclusively mine until we get married. Then you are exclusively mine. And that's exactly what the word sanctify means. It means set apart for a specific purpose. Now, sanctified does not mean isolate. Too many people think separation in the Christian life means isolation. Do you know I still have to go to the gas station and buy gas? We have to go to the grocery store and buy groceries. We have to do things in the world, and there's things that need done that you can't just do from the church or from your house. God doesn't say that separation is isolation. He said you can be in the world, just don't be of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at John chapter 17. Now, foundation is set. Warning, you're about to get slapped. We said that the word sanctify means set apart, separated for a specific use, correct? All right, look at John chapter 17. Look at verse number 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy what? Thy word is truth. Now everybody look at me for a second here. God tells us very plainly then that our separation is to be based on truth, which is the word of God, not our opinion. My mama's in heaven. She can't get mad at me for saying it. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and you pick which one you want. I really don't care what your opinion is. Neither does God. He cares about what his truth says. By the way, God says that the truth of the word of God is not of private interpretation. So for you to say, well, that's not how I see it, preacher. Don't care how you see it. That's how God wrote it. Don't get mad at me. He's the one that wrote it. I'm just bringing it to you. You see, God says our obedience to the truth of the word of God is what sets us apart from the world. Let me teach you something very simply here. Did you know that as you get saved and you grow in the Christian life, you don't have to worry about separation? As you start obeying the word of God, the world will separate away from you. The more you obey this book, the farther they run. I'm just going to say it. I don't mean to embarrass anybody. But Devin came today and half of you didn't even know who he was because he got a haircut. Say why? Because not long ago I preached, I said something not intended for him, just it was in the sermon. And he got his hair cut. Praise the Lord. But guess what? He was saved before then. He's growing. Matter of fact, he was out pulling weeds for 2 hours yesterday. God bless him and all that stinking heat. On that hill, out below the parking lot. Oh, Lord. I thought, God bless you, son. You're about to die and don't even know it. I'm hoping when I show back up, I don't have to throw dirt on you. I wasn't ready for a funeral. Wait a minute. He was growing. As he grows and as you grow, you don't have to say, well, I'm going to leave the world to go. No, 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 no. The more you obey this, the more the world says, see you later. As you get closer to God, people who don't want to get close to God, they move away from you. You don't have to move away from them. Y'all know what I'm talking about, especially family members? Ooh, yeah, that gets real exciting. The world is naturally going away from God. So as they're moving away from God and you're moving towards God, guess what? The gap gets farther and farther and faster and faster. And the more you obey, the farther it will be. You don't have to purpose and say, well, I'm going to go do these six things so that I can be away from the world. No. How about you just say, I'm going to obey that book right there and I'm going to let the world take care of itself. It's really that simple. The closer to the Bible we live, the farther from the world we will have to be. It's just a fact. Did you know the closer you live to what that book says, the less like the world you're going to be in every which way? Amen. Well, all love is love, these Fruit Loops want to tell you. Can I tell you something? They don't know what love is. They know what lust is. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. They stop there. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Okay, if it's real love, are you saved? If not, get saved. Amen. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. You can't tell me it's love until you fall in love with God and you're walking with God. Amen. Otherwise, it's the lust of the flesh. Right. Period. Now, that's called obeying the Bible. That puts you separate from the world, trust me. It's not politically correct, but it is biblically correct. I'm not interested in politically correct. I'm interested in biblically correct. I'm not interested in the world coming here and bringing their music to our church and putting quote unquote Christian words to their music. God says that we're to praise him in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts as to God. That means this, our music needs to be doctrinally correct. He'll tell you, every song we do here has to be at least 20, 25 years old. Has to be written at least 20 to 25 years ago. I want to stand the test of time. He reads it, makes sure it's clean musically and doctrinally. Then he gives it to me to approve and make sure I put it through the doctrinal paces. Say why? Because I don't want music done here that isn't biblically correct. Say why? I'm accountable to God for that. That's what makes our music different. You say, well, it's not always real exciting. It's not about your flesh. It's about God. By the way, this is why the church is not to be bringing the world into the church. Yes, we're to be nothing like the church. I was sitting in a place of business just the other day, my wife and I. And we were doing some small talk with the businessman that was there, and he said, I just don't understand why things are. And I said, I can tell you. I said, Brother Josh, come here for a second. He's going to represent the world. I'm going to represent the church. Say, why? Because he does that better than I do. Why don't you stand right about there? Now, it used to be, this is the distance between the world and the church. As the world got worse, and as the world got worse, and as the world got worse, one more step. And as the world got worse, the church says, well, we're the same distance from the world we've always been. Trouble is now the churches are more worldly than the world was 75 years ago. This is the way it's supposed to have been. As the world got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, we're stopped there. This is the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be over here the same distance away. We're supposed to have stood where the word of God's been all along. We are just so old-fashioned, preacher. Yes, the Bible hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Guess what? I go farther back than the 60s. I go all the way back to Jesus. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. That's how old-fashioned I am. Say, well, it's not going to be very good. Thank you, Brother Josh. Well, I'd rather be right with God than right with the people in the neighborhood. I'm not going to die in answer to the people in the neighborhood. I will die in answer to God.
Yes, sir.
We're not to bring the world into the church. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun here. I better hurry on. So, as Christians, God wants us set apart from the world. We're to separate from the world. You don't have to say, go home and call all your relatives that are lost saying, I can't associate with you anymore. I got saved and I'm going to separate from you. I'm never going to talk to you again until you get saved. That's stupid. Don't do that. Just live to save life. They'll either ask you about it or they'll stay away. And hopefully it's your in-laws. Number two. Separation, then, is not decided by us. It's decided by that book right there. It's decided by the Bible. Thy sanctifies through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, I'm about ready to really get down to the nitty-gritty here. God is the authority, not me, not you. I am not the final authority. God is. People will tell me, well, preacher, this is what I believe. I say, okay, show me in the Bible. Well, years ago, somebody preached this. I don't care what you heard preached 20 years ago or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. Where is it in the Bible? It is a matter of truth, not your opinion. You are not the final authority. Did you know you could have heard somebody as a kid preach something that was wrong and you think it's right? Everybody doing all right? Come on. Mm-hmm. My separation is not based on me. It's to be based on the authority of the Word of God. You say, preacher, you're a little bit more radical. I'd rather get to heaven and God say, I was too strict than not be strict enough. Have you seen the world lately? Have you walked around lately? Hopefully it's like this. What people call dressing up, it's kind of like undressing out. My separation, based on the Bible, is all I need to concern myself with. It's not about my opinion. By the way, not about my preference. It's not about how I see it. It's all about what God says in the Word of God. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Now, I'm not asking you to live the way I do. I'm just asking you to find what God says. I'm doing my best to do what it says. How about you do the same thing? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every, what's the next word? Thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. Now look at me for a second here. Please understand, separation is to be on the Word of God, not what we think. I'll get into this in a moment. Separation, as you get saved, may sound extreme because you're coming out of the world. It is extreme. Compared to the weirdos in the world, yeah, this is extreme. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But may I say something? We think the world is normal. There ain't nothing normal about it. this is normal. They're the abnormal ones. It will seem or sound extreme because it is the opposite of darkness. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 again. God says that what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And he said, verse 14, and what communion hath light with darkness? Did you know if we turned all the lights off in here, it's going to be dark? But the very moment you start flipping lights on, the dark starts chasing away. You can't have light and dark abiding together. Neither can you have the world and spiritual things abiding together. There has to be a separation. Now watch this. I'm not going to look at anybody because I don't know. But the entertainments that we have, are you thinking about the things of God? Do your children watch them and become better Christians? Or do they act more like the world? Everybody doing all right? Separation is as opposite as light is from darkness. And it is going to sound and be extreme as you're coming out of the world. But may I say something? And please don't take this as me lifting me up. I've been preaching for 42 years. I've been at this a long time. I'm a little farther down the road than most of you. When you get down here, you're real thankful that you're not like that out there. I don't want my daughter to look like she got in a fight with a pop rivet gun and somebody put a bolt ring in her nose. I don't want my children and my grandchildren to look like their hair got caught in a fight with a weed eater. And then they ran through the paint store with the paint blowing up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? God knows I definitely didn't want my daughter running around with her thighs exposed to every evil thought of every man. Uncovered at the top with nothing left of the imagination. Did you know that even the world has separation? It's just where we draw the lines. Very few people are going to walk outside in their underwear. And yet, you can put sand and water near there and everybody can paint their underwear different colors and it's okay. I said it. But what's the difference? But very few people go somewhere with no clothes. So everybody has some standards. Everybody doing okay? So don't get mad at me. Even the world has standards and separation. It's just where we draw the lines. I'd rather draw them where God wants them and not draw them where the world draws them. Now, my separation then must be based on getting closer to God, not just farther from what I don't personally like. Listen to this statement. My separation's not about what I struggled with in my past. My separation is to be about what God says in the Word of God. Some of you came out of a background of alcoholism. Either you or family members or somebody, and you have a harder time being around a place that might sell alcohol. I never drank this stuff. Now, I'm not going to a bar, but I don't have a problem necessarily going to a restaurant that has alcohol being served. It's not a stumbling block to me. If it is to you, don't go. But you're going to have a hard time going into the gas station because they sell it there too. You'll go to Sheets and buy coffee every day or two or three times a day. And it's okay, but you want to get mad at somebody who goes to a restaurant. Oh, wait a minute. There's as much liquor or more going out of Sheets as there is the restaurant. You'll go get your groceries at a place that sells it. Ouch. What's the separation then? Now, I don't go down the liquor aisles. I don't go near it. You say, why? God said, don't look on it. So I don't look at it. By the way, don't want to. But my separation is not about what I personally struggled with and I have to keep myself farther away from. That's not where I draw my lines. I draw my lines based on the Word of God. Some of you came out of bad music in your past. Some of you have a tighter line on music, but you're looser in other areas. Because it's an area that you're weak in, but can I tell you something? All the lines need to be the same according to the Scripture. Okay, I'm going to get myself in too much trouble here. Sin causes man to want man to be his own God. And we want to decide right and wrong for ourselves. Is that not what Genesis 3:5 was all about? In the day thou eatest, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. Book of Judges said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If it feels good, do it. All love is love. You can be a woman in a man's body or vice versa, or you don't even know what you are. Two bulls don't make a cow. Two roosters don't make a chicken. Now hang on here. God decides truth, not us sinful people. God wrote every word we need by which to live. Matthew 4:4. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Therefore, we don't decide what truth is based on what we like or what we dislike. We base truth on what God said, not our own opinion. I say this often. I don't care if that hair lips every dog in town. God said it. That settles it. Back in the 70s, there used to be a statement. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. They got it 2/3 right and 1/3 wrong. God said it. That settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Now, this takes us and our desires, our likes, and our dislikes out of the equation. When people say, well, I'll do this because I like this, or I don't do that because I don't like that preacher, the problem is you. How about we do it based on what God says, not what you like and what you dislike? It's amazing how many of you like... How many of you hate certain parts of Hollywood, but there's parts of it you like? Everybody doing all right? Okay, moving on. Number three. I'm going to go over by a couple minutes. My life is to bring glory to God, not pleasure to myself. Do you know my life is not about me living happy? My life is to be lived making Him happy. Y'all know the statement, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, if God ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 31. We're close to that. 1 Corinthians 10, I'm in 2 Corinthians. It'd be better if I went back to the right page. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. God says, even in our eating and our drinking, He said, whatever we do, we ought to do it to the glory of God. Is that correct? Now, the preacher didn't say that. God said that, right? It's in the Word of God. The Word of God is what? Truth. So, whatever we do should bring honor and glory to God. Turn to Colossians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, just about 20 pages or so. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look at verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now look at me for a second. I used these illustrations this morning. I'll do it again now. Before you smoke your cigarette or chew your tobacco or dip your snuff, How about you say, I'm going to do this for the glory of the Lord? If you can't, God says separate from it. You say, why? Because it's going to put a separation between you and God. I doubt while you're sucking on a cigarette or chewing your tobacco or spitting or sniffing your snuff or whatever you do with it, dipping your snuff or... I knew a guy who used to take that stuff. God bless him. No wonder he didn't have any brain cells left. Now, wait a minute. While you're doing that, I don't think you're out winning souls. You say, well, I'm a burnt offering. Yeah, you smell like one too. God says, whatsoever we do, we're to do all to the glory of God. In what we eat, what we drink, our fellowship, who we're with, all those things. Is that not what God said? Yes, it is. If God cannot get glory, or if God couldn't be there with you while you did it, or if God would not participate in it, maybe I shouldn't do this. Before you do something, say, Holy Spirit, is this what you would do if you were in control? I'm not asking you to take on what I believe. I'm not asking you to do what I think is best. I'm asking you to study the Bible and find out what God says, not the world. Our Christian school, we're going to have certain standards, dress standards, behavioral standards, different things. You say, why? Because we're supposed to be different from the world. We've worked on them. I believe they're right in line with that book right there. As closely as I can get them. By the way, as your children begin to live them, you'll find out they'll be better Christians. And I'm not angry. Yeah, it's a whole lot different than the world. There's certain activities they're not going to be allowed to do. Going to the movie house. Say, what's so bad with that? You're paying a bunch of perverts their salaries by going there. First of all. Every penny you spend there goes to the perverts of Hollywood and the whores and the whoremongers and whoremongerettes of Hollywood, the sodomites and everybody else. And you really want God's money to take care of that? Think God's going to get the glory out of that? By the way, most of what's shown there, you probably shouldn't see anyway. You'd be surprised how much demonism and witchcraft is involved. Don't get me started on that. Wait a minute. Say, does that mean? I'm not telling you to design your standards after what I do. But when people step up in church, I ask them to step up to do certain things because I think we represent God and I think there's a certain way we ought to behave. Did you know if you went to McDonald's to work, you're not going to wear a Burger King uniform? You say, why? Because that's not the uniform. Well, God tells us some things in here that we should and should not do. How about we just do what he says? And I'm not angry with anybody if you don't do it. Doors open. Come on in. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, don't look down your Pharisaical snoot because you think you're somebody. You think you're hot snot on a silver platter, but you're going to find out you're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. You're not as good as you think you are because you're a sinner too. You may be stronger in some area of your life than somebody else, but let's tear your life apart and see if every area of your life is that tough. I'm going to ask you 8 questions and I'm going to be done. Will what I wear bring glory to God, or does it make me or somebody else in the world happy? Can I smoke this and bring glory to God? Can I drink this and please God and be closer to him? Could I invite Jesus to watch this and what I'm about to watch, and would he watch it with me? Will this entertainment draw me closer to God or farther away from him? Can I be with this person or group of people and be closer to God? Is this going to make me a better Christian, or will it keep me out of church? Can I listen to this and bring honor to God and be closer to him? Why don't we start asking ourselves these questions? How do I separate from the world? Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I've not told you what lines you should draw. You and God have to work on that, not me. I'm not mad at anybody. But I will tell you this. He's got all those lines drawn right there. It's not that hard. He sanctifies us. He gave us truth. And he gave us a guidebook and said, just follow what I said. And the closer you live to that book, the farther from the world you will be. And you don't have to worry about separating. Do you know that I don't have people come up and offer me a drink? I don't have people offer me drugs. One time in soul winning, I won a person to the Lord. They said, man, I'm so much better. What you want to drink, preacher? I got wine, whiskey, beer. It's all in the fridge. I said, don't do that. He said, that didn't come out very good. I probably shouldn't offer that, should I? I said, no. He didn't know any better. That's the only time in all these years I was even offered anything. You say, why? Because when you live right, people know what's right and wrong. The closer to that you live, in obedience to that, the more separate from the world you will be. You won't have to worry about calling everybody to separate. They'll scatter. 30 seconds. I was sitting at an airport waiting on a preacher. Sat down. He was running 20 minutes late. Sat down to baggage claim. Pulled my New Testament out. Opened up my Bible. Had a 3x5 card, and I was starting to sketch out an outline. Well, I had two people on either side of me that were of a Middle Eastern descent. They saw my Bible come out, and they got up and they walked away. I looked this way and I looked that way, and an elderly lady came over and sat down next to me. She said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I noticed. I said, you're not afraid to sit by me? She said, no, but those are two guys weren't they? She said, I felt real comfortable sitting here. I said, good. I gave her a gospel tract, witnessed to her. She was a saved lady. She said, you just taught me how to get a seat at the airport. I'll bring my Bible next time. I said, it works every time. Trust me. I said, I don't have to worry about people messing with me. I just pull my Bible out. She said, man, that'll chase them away. I just watched it happen. And it does. That's how simple separation works. You don't have to be mean and nasty about it. Closer to that you live, farther from the world you'll be. How do we come out of the world? Thy word is truth. Live closer to that than you do that, you'll be okay. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. If you listened tonight, it takes opinion right out of this. It puts the word of God front and center. Let me ask you a question. How close to the word of God are we living? How close to the word of God are we living?